call the Business and Professional Regulation Subcommittee to order. And Martha, will you please call the roll?
Chair Mayfield?
Here.
Representative Albritton?
Here.
Representative Castor-Dentell?
Here.
Representative Cummings? Representative Dudley?
Here.
Representative Eagle?
Here.
Representative Gibbons?
Here.
Representative LaRosa?
Here.
Representative Roberson?
Here.
Representative Rasan?
Here.
Representative Stafford?
Here.
Representative Stuvey?
Here.
Representative Trujillo?
Trujillo.
Thank you, Martha. Again, if everyone would please turn off their cell phone, put it on vibrate or any other machine you may have that makes noise, just cut it off. And welcome back, members. We have three bills today that we're going to hear, and we're going to start with Representative Hudson, and that's going to be on House Bill 773. You're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. House Bill 773 is the boxing bill you saw last year that passed on the House floor 116-0. This bill has some minor tweaks and changes for clarification purposes. In short, this bill revises current statutes that are ambiguous or outdated. It also seeks to make the unarmed combat sport environment safer for both professional and amateurs, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions for Representative Hudson? Representative Trujillo.
Thank you, Chair. Where's the First Amendment Foundation on this?
Representative?
On House Bill 773, the First Amendment Foundation has not taken a stance.
Thank you.
Any additional questions, members? Okay. Is there testimony from the audience? We have Jeff Johnston, who is a proponent. Great. Thank you very much. Members, are there a debate on the bill? Okay. Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Thank you. And Martha, will you please call the roll?
Representative Albritton?
Yes.
Castor-Dentell?
Yes.
Cummings? Dudley?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Gibbons?
Yes.
LaRosa?
Yes.
Roberson?
Yes.
Roussan?
Yes.
Stafford?
Yes.
Stuvey?
Yes.
Trujillo?
Yes.
Chair Mayfield?
Yes. And members, by your vote, will show PCS for House Bill 773 reported favorably. Now we're going to move on to House Bill 775. And this is the House Bill 775. And Representative Hudson, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. House Bill 775 is the public records exemption tied to House Bill 773. It will take proprietary confidential business plans from the promoter out of the public's hands. These are plans such as the number of tickets sold, gross receipts and profits, trade secret, business plans, and security detail. And I have two amendments, Madam Chair.
Yes, sir. And would you please explain Amendment 1, and that's barcode 587463.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment 1 clarifies the public record exemption applies only to the documents listed.
Great. Any question, members? Okay. Any testimony in the audience? Jeff, did you want to on this Amendment 1? You're good? Okay. Members wishing to debate the amendment? Representative Hudson, you're recognized to waive.
Wave close.
And are there any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show that amendment adopted. Now you're recognized to explain Amendment 2, which is barcode 008371.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment 2 clarifies that the documents that are exempt may be obtained by the Commission through an audit of the promoter's books and records in addition to the required reports submitted by the promoter.
Great. Thank you. Members, are there any questions on Amendment 2? Seeing no questions. Any testimony on Amendment 2? Seeing none. Members, any debate on Amendment 2? Seeing none. You're recognized to close on Amendment 2. Wave closing. Any objections to Amendment 2? Without objections, we'll show that amendment adopted. Now we are on the bill as amended. Is there any additional questions on the bill as amended? Okay. Testimony? Representative Johnson. Jeff Johnson? Waving. Okay. Members, are there any debate on this amendment as the bill is amended? You're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close, Madam
Thank
Chair.
You very much. Martha, will you please call the roll?
Representative Albritton?
Yes.
Castor-Dentell?
Yes.
Cummings?
Yes.
Dudley?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Gibbons?
Yes.
LaRosa?
Yes.
Roberson?
Yes.
Roussan?
Yes.
Stafford?
Yes.
Stuvey?
Yes.
Trujillo?
Yes.
Chair Mayfield?
Yes, and members, by your vote, will show House Bill 775 reported favorably with the committee substitute.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Committee.
Quite welcome. Okay, members, now we are going to move into our third bill, which is by Representative Eagle, and that is House Bill 593, Building Construction. And Representative Eagle, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this is the annual bill that makes changes to statutory provisions related to building construction codes and permitting, and I'll briefly describe some of the more main issues contained in the bill. Number one, regarding local government code ordinances, this bill authorizes an additional method, first-class mail, for local governments to provide notices to alleged code enforcement violators. Regarding Florida Building Code Compliance and Mitigation Program, this bill expands the allowable training options for funds from the Building Code Compliance and Mitigation Program to include training for consumer protection issues and contractors' licensing requirements. Regarding the Florida Building Code surcharge, this grants legislative authority to allocate to the Florida Future Builders of America $250,000 of the revenue collected from the surcharge on building permit fees. Regarding Florida Building Code interpretation, this grants the Florida Building Commission the authority to interpret the Florida Accessibility Code for building construction consistent with the Commissioner's ability to interpret all the other code sections. Regarding public swimming pools, prior to 2012, the Department of Health had jurisdiction over permitting, plan reviews, and inspections of public swimming pools and public bathing places. This clarifies the department is responsible. The department charged a fee of $300 to $500 to provide these services, and in 2012, much of the responsibility was shifted to local building departments. This clarifies the Department of Health must review commercial swimming pool plans, grant operating permit, and assist local building officials with permitting. However, the $300 to $500 fee will not be reinstated, and DOH supports the language. Lastly, regarding manufactured buildings and building modules, this clarifies the third-party inspections process for module homes. And that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Eagle. Now, I understand there's five amendments on this bill, and you're recognized to explain Amendment 1.
Thank you. Amendment 1 adds the list of requirements for obtaining a public swimming pool operating permit, a copy of the final approval from the local enforcing agency. It also removes reference to public bathing place, which DOH no longer has jurisdiction over.
Great. Members, are there any questions on Amendment 1? Okay. Is there any testimony in the audience on Amendment 1? I have several that's marked a bill and amendment. Bruce Kirshner? Okay. Alex Fletcher? Okay, Jennifer Hatfield, and Carl Herb Hebank, Carrie. I'm sorry, Carl. Carrie. Okay. Okay. Good. Any members wishing to debate the amendment? One. Seeing none. Representative Eagle, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Have any objections on the amendment? Without objection, show Amendment 1 adopted. Now you're recognized to explain Amendment 2.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment 2 replaces inspection criteria for manufactured buildings and building modules with language that is consistent with the current building code, and that is the amendment.
Great. Members, questions on Amendment 2? Seeing no questions, anyone in the audience wishing to testify on Amendment 2? Okay. Any members wishing to debate on Amendment 2? You're recognized to close on Amendment 2.
Wait, close.
Great. Without objections, we'll show Amendment 2 adopted. Now you're recognized to explain Amendment 3.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment 3 requires issuance of an operating permit before a certification of completion or occupancy may be issued for construction of a public swimming pool. It also removes reference to public bathing place.
Great. Members, any questions on Amendment 3? Seeing no questions, any testimony on Amendment 3? Seeing none. Members, any debate? Seeing none, we're going to recognize that we're going to waive close on Amendment 3. Are there any objections to Amendment 3? Seeing none, you're recognized to explain Amendment 4.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment 4 clarifies that a repair or alteration to an existing home does not mandate a hardwired smoke alarm if a 10-year battery-operated alarm is installed. It also provides that effective January 1, 2015, a newly installed or replaced battery-powered smoke alarm must be powered by a non-removable, non-replaceable battery that powers the alarm for a minimum of 10 years. And that
right.
is the amendment.
Rick, members, is there any questions on Amendment 4? Seeing no questions, any testimony on Amendment 4? Any members wishing to debate Amendment 4? Right. Any objections to Amendment 4? Seeing no objections, we'll show that amendment adopted. Okay, now we're on Amendment 5. You're recognized to explain the final amendment.
Final amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment 5 revises the definition of building energy efficiency rating system to spell out what a rating system is comprised of and the criteria that should be considered for new and existing construction. It deletes the list of entities that comprises the current definition. That is the amendment.
Great. Members, are there any questions on Amendment 5? Seeing none, any testimony on Amendment 5? Seeing none. Wishing to debate Amendment 5? Seeing none, you're recognized to close on Amendment 5.
Wave close.
Okay. Any objections to Amendment 5? Without objections, we'll show that amendment adopted. Okay, members, now we are on the bill as amended. Is there any questions on the bill as amended? Vice Chair Stube.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Eagle, on the $250,000 of the funds remitted to the Future Builders of America program, that 1.5% surcharge, what is that money going to now? Like, what are we taking from to put to this program?
Representative Eagle.
It's currently used to fund the Building Commission, and my understanding is there is a large surcharge or surplus right now involved with that, and the parties that do put into that are all in support of putting this towards the new program.
Just a quick follow-up.
Follow-up, yes, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So what is, I mean, I know it goes to the Future Builders of America program, but what does that program do, and what specifically will that money go to? Will that go to scholarships, or if you could just give me a little bit more information on that?
Sure, I'll touch on it briefly. Oh, thank you, Madam Chair, and we may have some in the audience that might be able to touch on a little bit more, but the Future Builders of America is a 501c3 that partners with the Florida Home Builders, and it's basically used to help train and bring students, younger people up into the building industry, whether that be builders or contractors or subcontractors, plumbers, roofers, you name it. And Madam Chair, I think we have someone from Florida Home Builders that may be able to expand on that a bit.
Yes. Would you like for him to expand on it?
If you'd like.
Yes. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's important,
Mr. Kirshner,
to know what we're trying to do and don't do. This has been around for a while. That's part of our foundation, but it's not just builders. It's plumbers, roofers. It's other folks, the trades. And it's like a club, and we've expanded into parts of the state. We have scholarships and private donations, but honestly, we're looking for some sort of ongoing administrative support to just sort of manage the office and expand. We want to double, triple the places we're at. Our industry is hurting for workers. We want to expose kids in the high schools to the job opportunities that are available in our industry. If they go on for additional training, good. If they want to find a job, that's even better.
Okay. If you could make sure you fill out a card too, sir. Okay. Any other questions, members?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Representative
Dudley.
That's
okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a concern about the notice requirement on the, you know, kind of from the outset that we're changing this. You're adding first class mail and as an option to fulfill the requirement of notice when there's a ordinance violation or something. So the nightmare scenario is that there's proof that first-class mailing occurred, but through some difficulty, whatever, complications, somebody doesn't get it. They're racking up fines and penalties and so on, and next thing you know, the city or the county virtually owns the home, you know, because of the amount of fines or whatever. And it just seems that the extra piece of return receipt requested makes more sense, particularly in a situation where there's this kind of taking, potentially. I mean, so
it's your question.
What? Yes, there is a question. Thank you, Madam Chair. Why would we want to have people receiving less notice than the way the law exists today, other than it's a few bucks cheaper? So I'm just curious what the motivation to change that whole notice requirement. To me, that's a scary thing.
Representative Eagle, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks for the question. The main issue is cost savings. It is an exorbitant amount that the local governments do have to put up to send this out through certified mail, so moving it to first class would be an immense saving portion to taxpayer dollars, and I do think that we may have someone that wants to touch on it from the audience.
Thank you. Carrie, would you like to?
Still
follow-up. Representative Dudley.
Okay, so hypothetically, if the city doesn't exercise the option to send it return receipt, then just the mailing and proof of mailing a first-class mail, that $15,000 looks, you know, may look expensive, but when you're talking about huge, massive, you know, could be into the hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines and costs and so on associated with the ordinance violation. So just, yeah. Has anybody looked at that? I mean, the amount of taking that can be done under the codes violation and so on versus the cost of good notice to people that are maybe going to experience that taking by government.
Carrie, would you like to respond?
All I can tell you is I know the Code Enforcement Association, the folks who deal in this world, signed off on that language. You can go back to that and talk about it, but they felt comfortable with that language. And these are the local government people who do that for a living.
Right. And if I can
That's
interject, that was...
Wouldn't they feel comfortable with it?
Representative Dudley, I also had that concern. And it's my understanding we're going to find out exactly where it's at in the bill that they still have to acknowledge, the resident still has to acknowledge that they've received it by calling and contacting them before action can be taken, and we're looking to see exactly where that is in the bill. But I had that same concern too, that there needs to be some acknowledgement back from the residents or the owner that they've received the mail. In addition to as if it was a return receipt. But we're going to find that information out for you, too.
Madam Chair, are you saying that that would be a prerequisite before any fines or costs or violations could be found against somebody?
Yes, sir, and we're going to find out where it's at exactly in here because there is a process they still have to go through. The option is just to get it by regular first-class mail versus the expense of a return receipt. So there's still a process they have to go through before they can take action against the people and start fining them. And we'll find out where that's at in the bill and get it to you. Okay. Okay, members, any other questions? Okay. We have several people wanting to testify. We have Bruce Kirshner with the United Pool and Spa Association as a proponent.
They can end up owning somebody's property.
Great, thank you. We have Alex Fletcher with the United Pool and Spa Association. Great. Jennifer Hatfield with the Florida Swimming Pool Association, and she is a proponent of the bill. Carrie Hebank with the Florida Home Builder Association. We also have Lee Moffitt with the Building Owners and Managers Association of Florida. Great. Thank you. It's good to see you here, Lee. And we have Stephen Shiver with Resent Rating. Great, thank you. Members, is there anyone wishing to debate on the bill? Debate? Representative Dudley?
I think I've kind of voiced my concern, and that is that citizens not be on full notice and be facing, you know, I think everybody's heard of the nightmare case where somebody is paying hundreds of thousands or facing hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines, and if they're not properly noticed, it's really unfair.
Any other debate, members? Any other debate? Great. Representative Eagle, you're recognized to close on your bill as amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and appreciate the comments, Representative Dudley. I'll be willing to continue to work with you on that. If you go to the bill, lines 50 and 51, it does refer to subsections within the statute.
Thank you. With Representative Eagle having closed on this bill, Martha, would you please call the roll?
Representative Zollbritton?
Yes.
Castard and Tail?
Yes.
Cummings?
Yes.
Dudley?
Yes.
Eagle?
Yes.
Gibbons?
Yes.
LaRosa?
Yes.
Robertson?
Yes.
Roussan?
Yes.
Stafford?
Yes.
Stuvey?
Yes.
Trujillo?
Yes.
Chair Mayfield?
Yes. And members, by your vote, will show House Bill 593 favorably with the committee substitute. Members, that winds up all of our bills for today. We still have some bills that we're looking at, so I'm suspecting that we will have a committee meeting next week. And with that, our ranking member, Roussan, moves that we rise, and without objection, the meeting is adjourned.